With Father's Day coming up this Sunday, it's a good time to stop and think about dads and their unique and important role in their family. To help us with some perspective this morning, our guest is Marilee Bradley, a daughter and a wife. Marilee is as well a mom to six kids. Marilee, welcome back to the conversation.
Good morning. It's so good to be here.
Yeah, great to have you. It's been too long, actually.
Yes, I feel like summer has been going on since like March. I don't even know what month it is anymore. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. So we want to talk about Father's Day this morning, and we want to talk about it from the perspective of a child. So you have a father, but then also from a wife's perspective, as you kind of watch that play out in your own family. It's always interesting to kind of observe cultural messages, TV, sitcoms, like how people are portrayed. It just still seems to me like a lot of times dads in our culture today are kind of portrayed as the village stooge a little bit, or the family stooge. The mom's got it all together, and the dad's just kind of fumbling, bumbling along. So what do you think about that message out there?
The role of dad is so important. And I think sometimes our kids have almost a more formal relationship with dad and a more casual relationship with mom. So I think it's easy in these kind of cultural moments to knock dads down a peg or something and portray them as what they aren't. But that's obviously not true in so many of our homes where dads are people that we love and we have so much respect for.
Marilee, when you get married to someone, you learn very quickly that you're different. It's always interesting because we get attracted to other people typically by having things in common with each other. But then you get married and you go, wow, we are really different. And then you have kids, and those differences continue to get displayed often in the way that you relate to your kids. I'm just curious, what have you learned about respecting how Brian interacts with your kids when it's different from the way that you interact with your kids, honoring him as their father?
That has been such a learning experience for me over the years. I've come to have a perspective that my kids do not need two of me, that would be redundant. God very intentionally gave my kids two different parents, that we're going to handle things differently, we're going to perceive things differently, and sometimes we have to each talk each other off the ledge of one of us, you know, coming in real hot about something and the other one being like, maybe it's not that big a deal. But if we both agreed 100% on every parenting issue, my poor kids, like, they need both of us to talk each other down, to give good counsel when one's really upset by something. Like, it's a blessing to them that they have two different parents who interact differently with what they're doing.
It struck me one time when I was just kind of processing that whole reality as well, that biblically, it's interesting when a certain characteristic traits of God are communicated, they'll associate it with or use the analogy of a father. And there are other ones that are associated with God that they'll talk about and use a picture of a mother.
It's so beautiful that I think God encompasses perfectly both of those aspects, that we derive that we are both made in the image of God, and that there's parts of my motherhood that I believe are in the image of God, and that's biblical. But our kids absolutely need both of those parts.
Marilee, we were talking earlier this morning about how media can portray fathers sometimes, and sometimes they don't cast them in positive lights, but sometimes if moms' wives aren't careful, they can do the same thing, right? Where how they talk about their children's dads, their husbands, is very critical.
I was blessed to have a mom who I think of now as being a really good translator for my dad. My dad was not the most affectionate person, but my mom learned how to say to us, like, your dad has to work late tonight because he loves you so much and he wants us to have food. Instead of being, you know, frustrated that, oh, it's another night without dad, or, you know, or whatever it was, she learned how to help us see who my dad was more clearly and to tell us his heart in ways that maybe he would even have struggled to express. And so I've learned from her really well and tried to do that with my own kids, to recognize that sometimes my kids may not understand their dad in the way that I do. And I have a choice to make of, I can either be bad mouthing him for whatever is difficult, or I can say, okay, so why is this? Like, what's the good heart here? Because we know he has a good heart. We know he loves our family, and be able to tell them, yes, this is out of love for you. You know, this is because we care about you, even if this situation is hard.
Yeah. My wife and I read a book, a big, thick book on Billy Graham's life. One of the things I took away from that is, if you give Billy Graham a different wife, his kids turn out differently in how they think about what their dad did. He was gone a lot, but, you know, his wife, their mom, really had a biblical, godly, healthy, honoring view that she communicated. Didn't mean their kids didn't navigate any challenges, but there was a real health in the way that they viewed Billy Graham and his testimony stands today as he's gone on to be with the Lord. But I think there was so much behind her support of him.
And I hope she had a really good friend that she could complain to about how hard that was. Like, I think we got to be so careful about the messages we give to our kids that they are honoring of their dads, but we also need somewhere to go to say, this is hard, this is frustrating, or I'm tired of doing this piece of it by myself. Whatever it is, there's got to be somewhere that we can vent that stuff so we don't put that burden on our kids.
I'd love to hear some things that you've learned, maybe when you've hit a place that's difficult, that you're feeling a little stuck in your differences and how to approach something with your kids. What are some of the ways that you found helpful to get unstuck?
I think it's been wise for each of us to be able to talk to people outside of our family about what's going on, to have good friendships, to have Christian community where we can say, we're struggling with this particular parenting issue. Can you give us fresh eyes on that? And sometimes that will help kind of get out of that cycle of, this is my position, this is your position, and we're not going to bend, to say, oh, well, here's somebody else with a different thought about it, and can we bring that to the table? And maybe there's another way, or maybe, all right, they're helping me see your perspective from a different side, and now I can see, yeah, maybe that is the thing we should do. But I think so many times we think that parenting is just like following your instincts and whatever your gut says about it. But I think there's so much more wisdom involved, and we've got to have people that we trust that are feeding into us and that are willing to invest in our families.
It's interesting, as I've gotten involved with couples in various things that they're grappling with at different times in their marriages, one thing that I find is a large percentage of the time there's rightness in both perspectives. And if they could just hear each other and bring those two things together, there could be something beautiful that comes out of it that blesses their marriage, blesses their family. But sometimes, like you said, you need that objective third party to kind of help navigate that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not a sign of weakness or unhealth. To me, it's a sign of strength and health to be able to reach out and get some other people involved.
Yes, absolutely.
Marilee, Dad comes home after a challenging day of work. Mom's had a rough day too. She's been working. She wants to hand the kids off to Dad as soon as he walks in the door. Creates some dynamics there. So how can parents navigate that reality well?
I think there has to be a level of honesty, because somebody may be able to take it on and somebody really may not. And so you need to be able to have that conversation of who has that little bit of capacity left, and to be able to say, you know what, like, I've had times where I'm like, literally, I just need to shut myself in the bedroom for 10 minutes. If I could have 10 minutes, then I can reemerge and I will be good here. But just 10 minutes of quiet needs to happen. And my husband could absolutely handle that. But if he came in and I'm like, I am out, he may not be in a position to be able to do that really well at that exact moment. So I think being clear about, what do I need from my spouse right here? Do I need 10 minutes? Can they give me 10 minutes? Can I give them 30 minutes in exchange later? That we've got to have those conversations to figure out what exactly would be most beneficial for each one right now.
Marilee, you've got 6 children. You know, we hear about the importance of dads getting one-on-one time with their kids. What does it look like for you to be supportive of that and help that happen?
It is tough. I will absolutely say that. And I definitely hear people with smaller families, it's easier for them to make that a priority, easier for that to happen. And I 100% think it should be happening. It's just a little bit difficult when you have a lot of kids. And that's where we will seize opportunities like, Dad is going to Target. Who wants to go along? That's a great one-on-one moment, you know. And I think we've seen that you just have to harness even whatever opportunity it can be, to run an errand, to Dad's running over to the office for a little bit, who wants to go with him, to try and find those little moments. And we've seen too that for our family and the way my husband interacts with our kids, as they've gotten older, that's gotten easier because he's coaching basketball or he's taking them back and forth to soccer or whatever it is, that he's able to have that time. And it definitely means I have to take on a little bit more, because that means there's 5 with me. But I want that for them. I want that for my husband. I want that for that child. And so it's something that I can prioritize too.
And my encouragement too would be to not underestimate what you think might be a little deposit, because a little can go a long, long way with a kid. I remember someone talking about reaping and sowing a number of years ago. They talked about, if you think about reaping and sowing literally, you reap more than what you sowed and you reap later than you sowed. You put a seed in, you don't just get one more seed back out. that works negatively, of course, but it also works positively. There are things that I see in my kids and ways that they got value and appreciate so much investments that I made that I didn't even come close to hitting what my goal was. Because I wanted to be perfect like everyone else. Like I wanted to nail this and I wanted to do it every week and I wanted to do it for year after year, the whole time they were growing up. And man, I just didn't, you know, but I tried, but I didn't. I've just been amazed at the fruit that it's bore in their lives and in our relationship, even when I didn't come close to being perfect with it.
I love that. I think about, like, for my kids, they will still talk about that time Dad took me mini golfing, and it was like 3 years ago, you know, but it was a really big deal. And I think those things sit with them, that when they felt precious and when they were the special one for that day, that that does pay off dividends in the long run.
Marilee, we want to be perfect parents. We want our spouses to be perfect parents, and we can have those expectations on them. What have you learned about managing the expectation of perfection of your spouse's parenting abilities?
I feel like there's a message out there in the world that I think is especially for moms, but also for dads, that says, you are enough. Whatever failures you have, whatever, don't feel like you need to be more, you are enough. And something about that just did not sit well with me. And I think I've realized if I were enough for my kids, they wouldn't need a savior. If I could just personally be Jesus for them, if I could be perfect, if I could be everything they needed, they wouldn't need faith. They wouldn't need salvation. I would just be personally capable of doing all of that. And so I've come to see the ways that I fail and the ways that my husband fails as things that point our kids to a need for a better parent, for a perfect parent. So it is okay. We don't want to fail, but it is okay that we aren't going to be perfect parents. And when our kids bring those things to us, their hurts or the things that we've done wrong, sins in our life, to be able to say in humility, we have failed, we do fail, and we're so thankful that we have a Savior that forgives those things, that we have a God that is the perfect parent, that is a good and loving father. And we want to point you to him to get all of those needs met, because if you're counting on us as your parents to do that, we are always going to let you down.
Marilee, that literally is one of my core pillars in my parenting over the years. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, a moral home, hardworking home, provide for me. Parents stayed together. There was some solid stuff there, but investing, nurturing kids, memories, like none of that was there. Plenty of character development that just didn't get intentionally put in me. But then I came to know Jesus at 19 years old. He transformed my life, you know, from the inside out, and not just in spiritual ways, but in very practical ways. God began to build my character. My parents, you know, blessed them, but what they came out of, they didn't even try to build into me intentionally. I tried to build into my kids, but either way, I'm going to fall short, like you're saying. But man, the way that God worked in my life, I'm believing and trusting and knowing and confident he's going to work in my kids' life. I don't have to do it all. Again, I need to do my part, but man, I can trust God to more than make up the difference in where I fall short. Marilee, we've been talking about you as a wife in a home, observing your children's father, your husband. Let's talk about you as a child, a daughter. You grew up in a Christian home. You didn't walk away from your faith. You were not a statistic that we hear about that horrifies us Christian parents, the number of kids that walk away from the faith after they graduate. You didn't do that. I mean, there's lots of factors in that, and mom's in there as well, and other people that God sovereignly put around you and experiences and all that kind of stuff. But specifically with your dad, what would you say your dad did right?
My dad is incredibly faithful. In all of his character, that is the thing I know to be true about my dad. And my dad is not overly expressive. He's not an emotional person, but you could watch his quiet faithfulness that he learned from his dad, who was a believer, that he was going to be in his Bible. His Bible was very well worn, and we would often find him reading it. And that wasn't something he had to announce to the house, like, I am going to go read my Bible now. Who would like to join me? You know, it just was what he did for him because it was the right thing to do. And because he cared about it. And that would so often be part of our conversations that he would initiate and engage to want to talk about matters of faith. And when we had questions, he would want to help us find answers. He was not afraid of the questions. You know, he would want to do the digging with us. And so I think that made it seem very accessible to me that faith didn't have to always be a big, magical, emotional experience. It could be something quiet. It could be something personal. It could be something faithful. It could be the thing that you do every day because you need it, even when you don't feel like you need it, or even when you don't have the big feelings of faith.
As I think about the years that I spent working very close with kids, the one thing that kids need from their parents that they can't get anywhere else is an example of what it looks like to be a Christian in the day-to-day realities of living life. Man, they can hear biblical truth taught, they can read about it, they can watch it. All those things are words and concepts. They need it to see it lived out in reality. And so, man, if we can just live our faith in our homes, that's the part that is just non-negotiable and can't be replaced.
And I wouldn't say my dad was always a Bible teacher for us. You know, it wasn't always that, here, we're going to have a lesson and I'm going to know all the answers, but watching him live his faith and how important and central it was to him communicated something to us.
Merrily, we can't be perfect parents, but we do want to strive to improve in our parenting because we want to be the best parents that we can be. God put us in our kids' lives for a reason. What's something that you'd say you didn't do well initially and you really had to learn and do a pivot and become a better parent in what kind of a way?
You know, we had an unusual parenting experience of raising 17 boys before we had our first child because we worked in a group home. So bless all their hearts, they got a lot of my parenting failures. But I would say when my oldest came to us, when Josh came to us, I really had an idea that if I did everything right as a parent, he would be perfect, obviously. Like I could somehow prevent sin in his life by what I did as a parent, that he would turn into this like robot child. If I could just discipline all of the sin out of him, if I could reward all of the good, that probably lasts 2 months. I don't know how long you can hold on to that idea. I felt very pressured that this kid had to be the perfect reflection. Whatever he did was communicating to the world what kind of a mother I was. And so I needed him to be really, really good because he needed to tell everyone what a good mom I was by his behavior. That is just not something as a parent you can actually control. With some kids, you figure that out really young, and with some kids, you figure that out when they're 15 and 17. And I'm glad in some ways that we figured that out pretty young with Josh. It's helped me a ton to recognize that I can't actually control my kids. I can do a really good job at making it easy for them to be good. Good is rewarded in our home, that we're teaching and we're training them and that we want that from them and they know that. But the reality is that they have to make their own choices, and I am not always responsible for the choices that they make. That takes some burden off of me, but it also is a much, much, much scarier way to parent when you recognize you can't actually control your kids.
Merrily, I love having you on the conversation. We'll do it again soon. As we end, again, heading into Father's Day, what would you want to say to fathers?
Being a good dad is a heavy burden to carry, and I don't know that all men are naturally, intrinsically just good dads. I don't think everyone is built to be a perfect father, and I think that's scary sometimes to realize maybe this is going to be a struggle for you. I would just love to tell dads that you don't have to be perfect. There is a perfect father that we can point our kids to, and it's okay to be humble when you do things wrong. It's okay to come back and admit that. But I just want to give them that freedom. It's okay to not be perfect, but you're right. We want to keep working towards that. We want to keep learning. We want to keep growing. We want to keep adding wisdom to what we understand about being people who love God and about being parents. But to do that in the freedom of understanding, we're never going to get this all the way right.
Well, Merrily, it is always a good morning when we get to spend it with you. Thank you so much for the important insight that you shared with us this morning. We so much appreciate you joining us on the conversation.
Thank